Okay, it's the 8th of April. We're into week number 10. Oh, my goodness. Is the parking lot a lot easier to get into? Yes, it is. And that's why you can't give up now. Don't give up. Never give up. Kenya's here. Kenya, take this, please. Because you are awesome. We don't want you to disappear. Who snuck in just now? Nicole and Mauricio and Kenya. Okay, anybody else? All right. Okay, because today we get to excoriate the life insurance industry. And I get the great feeling of catharsis. Remember, I'm an insurance agent. But our next chapter, oh boy, on Thursday we get starting on investing. So don't worry, another exam not for until next Thursday. So if not this Thursday, we start investing. The best part of this semester, which is kind of sad because we've already lost several people. But hey, they can always go back on wonderprofessor.com and see the rest of it. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? Okay, okay. So you guys are not too excited with my Battle of the Sexes jokes, are you? Yeah, you like them? You haven't been married yet. That's the reason why. Okay, this is a very sad story. Okay, very sad. You see, Mrs. Wiggins was called to the hospital because her husband, they've been married a long time. Husband had a massive heart attack. So she rushes to the hospital, and the surgeon walks out, and she's covered in blood. And she said, "Mrs. Wiggins, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but your husband's dead. He's gone." Mrs. Wiggins says, "He's gone?" And the surgeon says, "Yes, we did everything we could." She goes and sits down. And about 20 minutes later, she gets up and goes to the nurse's station. Says, "Where's my husband?" The nurse is horrified. She says, "Mrs. Wiggins, your husband's dead. He's gone." She says, "He's gone? Yes, I'm so sorry." So she goes and sits back down. And she does this about two more times, right? So they, oh my goodness, they call the social worker who runs right down. And they explain to him what's going on. He says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." He goes over to Mrs. Wiggins and says, "Mrs. Wiggins, is there someone I can call to pick you up? Obviously, you can't drive. Can we get you a taxi? But you can't stay here all night. Your husband's dead. He's gone. They've already taken his body to the mortuary." She says, "No, I'm all right. I'm all right. I just like the way it sounds." And which is true. You know, my uncle was a real nasty person. He had been gone about 3 years. And she said, "I've been so happy since your uncle died." She didn't say it with a nasty. She didn't say it nastily, but just remember that. Remember that. And remember, guys, that guys live not as long as women, especially if the women keep feeding them the same stuff that you eat at McDonald's. You think a marriage is going to be fun, don't you? You see, you mean it look like it. And then people say, "Well, aren't you married?" I say, "Yes." And they said, "Well, aren't you happily married?" I said, "Yes, my wife told me to tell you that we're very happily married." She doesn't like that. But she married me. It's her fault. Okay, life insurance. Yes, do we got some extras back there? No, we're out of... Oh, they're the extras. Okay, sorry. Life, wait a minute. All right, we got enough? Back there? Just one more? Are they going to return you back to life if you die? Like they did, your car is destroyed, they give you a new car, your house burns down, they give you... No, it doesn't work that way, right? No, it's not what life insurance is about. We're going to write this term, this phrase, on the board. And maybe you know what it means now. Probably you don't. But by the end of our session together, you should understand this. Because it could mean the difference between tens of thousands of dollars in the insurance company's pockets or in your pockets. Buy term and invest the difference. And, you know, many, many people have given this advice over the decades. But none better than, in my humble opinion, David Chilton in The Wealthy Barber. So we're going to steal from him quite a bit here in this presentation. Life insurance is obtained by purchasing a policy with the insurance company promising to pay a lump sum at the time of the policyholder's death. So the person who we bought the insurance for, or whether they bought it for themselves or somebody bought it for them, once they die, somebody else is going to get a ton of money. So are you really buying it for the person who's insured? No, you're buying it for their dependent. Some types will pay while the policyholder is still alive if they live long enough. Now, these are whole life policies. Now, we really don't want to use the word stupid, so we'll use the word uninformed. But when you see the word uninformed, what do you know to say? Who wants to say stupid? When you see the word uninformed, what are you supposed to say?
Stupid.
So these are whole life policies for stupid people. The purpose of life insurance, you know, you feel sorry for these people, but you got to make fun of them anyway because they're stupid. Okay, purpose of life, I was scammed just a couple of days ago. I put something on Craigslist for sale, a desk, which is actually a very nice desk. And I know there's a way they can put your text and they hide it. So I got almost an immediate response. And, you know, desk still available. And so I texted back, yes. All they wanted was my cell phone number. They didn't want to buy the thing. I should have known better because it was not a 619 or 858 number. It was 6760. So they never responded. And all of a sudden, I go, oh, God. So I quickly got rid of the fact. So now I'm probably going to get all kinds of spam stuff. So yeah, people get scammed. And the insurance industry, well, I told you this because the insurance industry is very good at scamming people, and that's what they've been doing. The purpose of life insurance is to protect someone who depends upon you from financial loss. You're not protecting yourself. You're protecting somebody else. If you were to pass away, they would be in financial distress. That's what life insurance is about. But there are some other reasons to make the charitable request upon your death. Kind of dumb. To leave as a part of your estate to avoid estate taxes. Be careful. Now, most of you will never be in this situation. Because if you're married, that's $22 million. If you're single, it's $11 million. If your gross assets go over these numbers, then you're going to have insurance agents come and tell you, ooh, we can use life insurance to get around the estate taxes. No, no, no. The IRS does not like this. In fact, they often will negate these, and you won't know because you'll be dead. These people don't trust them. They're unscrupulous insurance agents. In my humble opinion, you can tell them I said that. And then, to save money for retirement or children's education. These are the whole life policies for?
Stupid.
You're supposed to say stupid. These are the whole life policies for uninformed people. You're supposed to say uninformed. Yeah, because they're going to come after you. That's how they make their living. Here's from the Wealthy Barber, and I really like this this first one here. People should buy life insurance so that when they die, their assets combined with their insurance proceeds can allow for the proper winding down of their financial affairs and provide the desired standard of living for their dependents. Really, we shouldn't call it life insurance. Life insurance is better termed financial protection for dependents. Or the other one, income replacement insurance. Okay, I like that. But I like financial protection for dependents. Because then you go, wait a minute, I got a dependent. I probably need this insurance. Yes, you do. If you're 99% of the people, you need it. What's the basis of life insurance? Well, the insurance companies are geniuses when it comes to statistics. Anybody into math? Anybody like math? Math? This is a great job. Now, the only problem is there's not too many in San Diego. But they're called actuaries. They're mathematicians. And their job is to determine in any given population how many people are going to die, how many people are going to live, how long they're going to live for. And they have tons of information. They do a very good job. And if you're good at this, actuaries make a lot of money. Your mortality tables, they provide odds on your dying based on your age and sex. Your premium is based on your life expectancy and the projections for the persons who do die. When you buy life insurance, you're essentially betting the life insurance that you're going to die prematurely. I mean, everybody's going to die, right? But the life insurance is only for a certain amount of time if you buy the right one. And you're hoping that you don't win the bet because that means you're dead. And the insurance company doesn't want you to win the bet either because that means they have to pay out. They have a very good idea of how many people will die and how many will live. They don't know who, but they do know that somebody's going to die. So in chapter 10, in the chapter, there is a link to the longevity game. Now, this is cute, but you have to enable flash. Okay, let's see. Okay. Where its connection is secure. Enable, click to enable, allow. All right, so who wants to give up some sensitive information about yourself? Anybody? To see how long you're going to live. Nobody wants to give up sensitive? Okay, all right, let's see. All right, now I was going to ask a few sensitive questions. What's your age? 23. Male.
How you doing?
How you doing? Watch what happens if you get old like me.
What
do you want?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
How you doing? Okay. The 23. Okay. Now, what's your height?
5'10".
Now watch. They want you to be really skinny. What's your weight?
180.
I think that's horrible. They want you to be, life insurance companies like skinny people. They want you to be at least 170. Yeah, see? And then if you're like 140. Oh, no. There it is. But they don't like that. And notice what's happening. It's changing your age as it goes along. Watch the age. I know. They want you to be like one. Let's say you're 175. No, not even. They say 170. Okay, let's go. You're 170. Okay. Okay, now, this is about your family. Family member lived to age 70 with no cardiovascular problems before age 55. Anybody in your family live to that age? They pass away? So, cardiovascular problems before age 55? No? Oh, people have lived past that? Okay, so you get this one. Okay, so two or more family members. Okay, so this one, I say, hey, your heart's good. Now, if you have somebody who had problems before age 55 in your family, they think, uh-oh. And then, ooh, bad. And they don't know in mind, they just put a question mark there. So let's do that. Notice he's now up to 77. Okay, where are we now? Do you know your blood pressure?
Not now. But
the last time you were checked, was it regular?
Not regular.
Yeah, okay. So, regularly checked, normal reading. Okay, now he's up to age 80. Okay, now, is stress a positive influence? I mean, you can usually deal with stress without having any problems. You have your ups and downs, bouts of depression, or stress overwhelms me. I can't get out of bed.
Ups and downs.
Ups and downs. Watch what happens to his eyes. Okay, you have your ups and downs. Okay, now daily vigorous exercise?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Watch what happens if he says somewhat active. Walk a minimum. Okay, with a little thing on his head. And you're not active. They want you to be exercising. Okay, you eat 5 portions of fruits and vegetables?
Average,
okay. Okay, but if you eat... And then again, yay, carrots. So average. All right, now, do you always buckle up when you drive?
Yeah.
Okay. No any accidents in the past 3 years?
Speeding tickets count?
One or more, yeah, speeding tickets count.
Yeah.
One? Okay. Convicted of driving? And then you get the bus sign. Okay, so 84. All right, so now 10. Don't drink or never drink more than 2 drinks a day.
No,
3 to 4 drinks more than 2 times a week.
More.
Okay. Notice it's going down. And then never smoked.
No.
Never smoked. And then never use drugs for recreation. Use drugs for recreation.
Second one.
So what they're saying is he's going to live to 72. pretty amazing, isn't it? So play the game. Yeah, play the longevity game. Okay, let's continue. Resume slideshow. So you can do that. Now, the only thing, if you do it, you have to enable Flash, because Flash is going away. They're going to get rid of it by supposedly next year. But it still works on most of your browsers. You just have to say, okay, go ahead and do it. I'm not worried about these people giving me a virus. Now, there's something I'm going to ask you which you're going to forget. Please remember it for the exam, because I'm going to ask an exam. But there are two different types of companies. There's stock life insurance companies, which are private institutions, like regular companies. And then there are mutual life insurance companies, which are kind of like credit unions. They're nonprofits. And the reason we tell you this is because of the difference between a non-participating and a participating policy, which you really should know, but you probably will forget. But if you go to buy one and then you remember, oh, yeah, I got to look this up, because many people don't even know the difference. But most companies are stock life insurance companies. And what they do is they typically sell non-participating policies, which, all other things being equal, and they never are, that's the kind you want. Because then you know how much you're going to pay every year. The other type is the mutual life insurance policy. And only about 14% of this are this kind. And what they typically do is they sell participating policies. Which sounds like, hey, it sounds cool. No, not necessarily. But it might be. What happens is with a non-participating policy, they say, look, it's going to be $400. We're going to charge you $400 every year. And that's forever until the policy ends, the end of the term. However, participating policies say, look, you know what? Our premium is $600. And you say, well, why the hell would I go with you? This year, we're only charging you $250. So what they're doing is they're rebating. They call it a policy dividend, which is a really bad name. As soon as you use the term dividend, the IRS says, oh, are you giving somebody a dividend tax? No, no. They convince the IRS, no, it's not a real dividend. It's a refund. So we said we're going to charge them $600, but we're only charging them $250. And then, as time goes by, they have the option to go back all the way up to $600. But if your group is in good shape, and typically you want to try to find a group, maybe a teachers are the best, then we give our stress to our students, right? And that's why teachers live longer than the rest of the population. It's because we give our stress to you. And they could bring it all the way up to $600 if things don't go well for your group, or they could raise it, or they could lower it if things go well. And typically, the one company that offered these for a decade and did a great job was TIAA, Teachers Insurance Annuity Association, which was originally designed just for people in education, but now they can sell to anybody. They call themselves TIAA. So here was the exception. If you were in a group for which there was a participating policy, but your group was statistically pretty good shape, didn't die at early ages, these were great deals. So that's something you should remember. You'll forget about it. I don't blame you, because it's just something that most people in the general population are not going to know about. But if you get a job in the insurance industry, which, by the way, is fairly good job, and we talked about that. I talked about that last week, right? You'll know about these. Okay, now, that was that. How are we going? Not bad. Determining your life insurance needs. Do you need life insurance? Well, it's actually a very simple question. Ask yourself, are there any people, is there anyone, person or persons, who depend upon my income for their living expenses? So who is this typically going to be? Parents, right. Somebody who has children, typically. If the answer is yes, then it's not a question of whether or not you need life insurance. It's how much, because very few people could self-insure if they died. It's how much you need, and we'll discuss that later on. But if the answer is no, you don't need life insurance. It's that simple. No, it's not, because the insurance company wants to sell insurance, so it doesn't matter who you are, what you have, they're going to try to sell you insurance. Even if you're single, you will be told by an insurance agent, of course you need life insurance. Your policy is acting as a savings vehicle. Insurance is cheaper when you are younger. And you should buy insurance now while you are healthy and can get it. Now, your response to each of these should be nonsense, because we're going to see that these policies that are acting as savings vehicles, those are for the uninformed, stupid people. The rate of return is awful. Awful! Why should you buy something you don't need? Right? Because it's cheaper. Oh yeah, it's cheaper, I'll buy it. Do you need it? No, but I'll buy it because it's cheaper. Do you know anybody like that? And then the last one, there's a grain of truth, a kernel of truth. But the truth is, most people are never turned down. There's only about 2% of people who are turned down, and typically it's people who should have known better. The child is born, the children are born, their age is 1 and 2, 2 and 4, whatever. Get life insurance now. 10 years later, they're 12 and 14. You know, they're getting into their teens, and now we're looking at quinceañera and college, and you come down with cancer or hepatitis B or whatever. Is the insurance company going to sell you insurance now? No. No, hell no. So get it. As soon as you have the kids, get it, and then you won't be turned down. But you might be turned down for whatever reason. They actually, oh, my goodness, you're predisposed to cancer or whatever. Usually, they'll give it to you, but they'll charge you a whole lot more. We'll see that later. But don't ever buy life insurance for a child. Don't buy life insurance for a child. As soon as your child is born, as soon as you were born, the benevolent machine scooped up that information and sent it to several different databases. Have you ever read, how many people, anybody read 1984 yet? Have you read it? Okay. We're already way beyond that. There's not just one giant database. There are dozens of these things. But as soon as your child is born, you're going to start getting stuff in the mail, you know, for Pampers and Huggies and stuff. And some of them are going to be the baby, Gerber baby, little chubby cheeks. And they want you to buy life insurance for your baby. Right? Would you be devastated emotionally if your child dies? Yeah, of course. Would you be devastated financially if your child dies? No, right? No orthodontia, you don't have to buy diapers, no quinceañera, no high school, no college, you know, no sports or whatever. So, excuse me for being callous, but you'll be better off financially if your child dies. Don't ever buy life insurance for a child. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, what about the funeral? What the hell? Are you going to spend $20,000 on a funeral? Some people do. Stupid. And they think, oh, by the way, it's a savings vehicle. You'll be spending $10 a month, and there'll be $20,000 of life insurance for a really fun funeral. But if the child doesn't die at age 18, there'll be enough money in there to buy 2 books at community college. So what a great savings vehicle. Don't ever buy life insurance for a child. However, if you have children, yeah, you need it. Young married couples or single people with one or more children almost always need life insurance. The question for them is, do we need it? No. It's how much do we need? And the answer is more than you think. And we'll discuss that in a bit. But don't forget the non-wage earner form for a spouse. Because it's not that typical. Supposedly, these are probably old statistics, but it used to be that daddy went to work and fondled the secretary and mommy stayed home and slapped the kids. But that's not true anymore, right? Mommy and daddy go to work now, right? It's over, it's like 19% are stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads. In the homosexual community, it's more. There are more stay-at-home moms or stay-at-home dads. So figure that one out. Slapping the wrist. Slapping the face. But still, if you are in that situation where daddy goes to work or mommy goes to work and daddy stays home, you want to have enough life insurance on the non-wage earner spouse to pay off the debts, we'll discuss that, and then to provide the services, because taking care of children is not, you know, free. Either you have somebody doing it who volunteers, one of the spouses, or you have to pay somebody. But there's a caveat to this. There's an exception to this that we must think about, even though it's not always the best thing to think about, because you don't want to think about your spouse dying. But what happens when a man who has children and the wife dies? Within a year or two, at the most three, they get remarried. Right? It happens all the time. Well, maybe not all the time, but it happens almost all the time. Men, especially if they have children, are going to remarry. Women, forget about it. Been there, done that. I already have two children. I don't even have a third one. I already because that's, you know, men, they're only after one thing. Don't you know that, women? They want you to be their mother. It's the truth. That's the truth. And women go, yeah, you're right. So here, this is the most. This is the least. This is according to sociologists. This is the second most, the second least. Now, what do you think they're measuring? The most happiness. Married men are the most happiest people. They live longer. They're in better health because they got their mother with them, right? Single men are the least happiest people. They don't live as long as married men, and they don't have as good health. And the single man, it just feels like they're living longer. Do you want to live forever? No? Well, if you do, get married, because every day will feel like an eternity. Single women are happier than married women. Which is why when married women lose the hell of the husband for whatever reason, like Mrs. Wiggins, they don't get remarried. They've been there, done that. No, thank you. Are you with me? So if you're a married man and you have a stay-at-home wife, chances are you don't need that much life insurance on them because you're probably going to get remarried within a year or two. That's the reality. Now, everyone's different, but that's what the sociologists tell us. So some examples. You didn't like that, did you? What can I say? I don't make this stuff up. The joke, sometimes I do. Okay, who needs life insurance? Does a young married couple with no children need life insurance?
No.
Probably not. Well, maybe they have a huge mortgage, right, and one of them couldn't deal with it on their own, but probably not, or they need a little bit. How about a young married couple with two children? Yeah, that's the target market. If you get into the insurance industry, they're going to tell you, here's the target market for life insurance. How about a single adult? An unmarried couple? Maybe the unmarried couple, depending on how close they are. How about a single adult who is a partner in a business? Yeah, because when you're in a partnership in a business, it's like being married. It's a contract. And now you have somebody who's dependent upon you, and you're dependent upon them. If you have a partnership, let's say it's 50-50, one of the partners dies, it's a going concern. There's value there. You're supposed to pay off the heir, maybe the spouse, maybe the kids. Maybe they want to be involved in business. Maybe they have no interest whatsoever. If you can't pay them out, if you can't buy them out, they're going to try to sell it to somebody else. Now your livelihood is at stake. So partners will often have insurance on each other so that if one of them passes away, the other one can buy out the survivor's part of the business. Make sense? So you have to think, who's dependent upon me? Who am I dependent upon?
So the business is technically dependent?
Well, you're dependent on the other person, and they're dependent on you for financial wherewithal. So say you have a business and it's doing really well, it's a partnership, and your partner dies, now what's going to happen to their part of the business? It's going to go to you if you can buy them out. You can pay off the heirs, right? If you can't, the heirs are going to try to say, what the hell do I do with this thing? Maybe they want to get involved, maybe they don't. See, you're dependent now upon them, they're dependent upon you, so you often have insurance on each other. Now how about a married couple with children, but they're both doctors or both whatever. They have both high wage earners. Do they need life insurance?
Yeah, they probably got a ton of student debt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Might get rid of the debt. But typically, let's say either one of them could easily pay off the debt. The student debt goes away. It's one good thing about dying. you can't file bankruptcy.
No, except the final bankruptcy.
The final bankruptcy, yes, exactly. Yes. Woody Allen said it best. Don't think of death as bad. Think of it as a serious reduction in your expenses. Remember all those items on your cash flow statement? They all go to zero. So maybe they don't, but what happens if both of them die in a car crash? So you can get insurance that only pays if both people die. It's
like, how do you, like, that's like saying, like, the only way you guys get anything is if we die together.
Because that's the only time they need anything. You see, the idea is, look.
Not people with children as well?
Yes, because let's say even both of them are making more than enough money. You see, they're both making more than enough money. If one dies, the other one can make payments, no problem. But if they both die, now the children are going to be left without the income. So it's very cheap because it's very rare. It would be a car crash or whatever, a plane crash, some kind of, usually an accident, right? A shootout. Yeah, shootout in La Jolla. They're shooting at each other. So I know it's not fun. It's not fun to talk about life insurance at times. But in this case, it would be extremely cheap because it's just so rare.
But I would think that even the person who makes the money would want to get life insurance. Because what if you're like depressed after and you're not going to work? Because some jobs only pay up to a certain amount. So I've always thought of that.
Well, we're going to see that one of the first things we want to do, depending on when we determine how much, is we often like to get rid of all the debts. And you're right. You're not going to deal with the emotional issues. It's not going to help. It's money. It's going to help the stress of the situation financially. So that's one of the first things we'll get to in a few slides. Yes?
Wait, what do you mean if you die, the debt goes away? Because I've heard of people that spouse dies and they're drowning in debt.
If you incur the debt in the marriage, then it's communal property state. Other states, no. Other states, you can have your credit card, and then if you pass away, your spouse isn't liable for it.
Oh, so it's only if you guys do everything like together?
Well, once you're married in California, everything's together.
So in California, if your spouse dies, you're screwed with the debt.
Normally, but not always. What I haven't had this situation happen, but I've had known people who had a credit card just in their name, and they were married, and the credit card companies just said, no, don't worry about it. They could legally go after the spouse in California because they incurred the debt while they were married. So both, I only heard of this twice happening, so I don't know exactly what the insurance company. But SDG&E, no. If you're on the bill and you're married, they're a public utility. They have to go after. They're required. You owe us as much. The spouse has to pay it. But if you're not married, if you're single, but you're married, you're an unmarried couple, they can't do anything. They could, I guess they could try and say, oh, you've been together for 20 years, you're married, and forget it. They're not going to go after it. Okay, so how about a middle-aged couple with children gone and the house paid off? Do they need life insurance? No, they don't. But what happens if the old great-grandmother comes back? Now all of a sudden, they have somebody who's dependent upon them. Are they going to be able to get life insurance? Yes, but they're going to pay a fortune for it. Once you're in your 50s, 60s, the insurance companies don't want you. Go away. They'll take you, but they'll charge you a ton of money. It's insane. The prices go up.
Wait, so once you turn, like, let's say 50, they'll charge you more, or only if you want to start it at 50?
Yeah, if you started at 50.
So if you got it early on, they're not going to suddenly charge you
extra? Right. Okay. And typically what we're going to see, the dynamic is the people are in their mid-20s, early 30s. They'll get a 20-year period, because the kids are 2 and 4, they'll get a 20-year term. In 20 years, the kids are now 22 and 24. It's time for them. They don't, but it's time for them to go on their own. And now you're an empty nester. You don't need life insurance anymore. But you're going to hear people say, "Oh no, you need whole life policies." Yeah, well, hang on a minute. Okay, so now here's the easy method. We'll get to what Kenya said. These are all from the book, and none of them are good. So forget about them. Here's the one from The Wealthy Barber, which is the best. And it's not easy. And this is what we ask you to do in this assignment. If you need life insurance, if you don't need life insurance, you just say, I don't need life insurance, you're done. Get a quote for $500,000. But if you need life insurance, here's how you do it. Get out your financial statements. You remember them? You still have them tacked to the wall or working on them? Call me, yes. Good, thank you. And so now, you look at your debts, and this is what we get to Kenya here. Get at least that much. Pay off the mortgage, pay off the car loan, the student loans. If you, you know, again, find out, because I think even if you're married, if the student passes away, they won't come after the husband or spouse or the wife. Start with at least the debts, and boof, the debts go away. It's hard enough dealing with the emotional issues of a death of a spouse. Now at least you don't have any more debts. And then, so that's the first start. Then you create another cash flow statement without the person's income and without the person alive. You don't need two cars, two cell phones. You don't have to pay food or clothing for that person. And this will tell you how much income the surviving family will need. You determine the principal needed to generate that income, and that's where it gets a little tricky. When we get to investments, we'll see what kind of return we can expect from different investments. So you add the first amount, the debt, to the second amount, the principal, and that's how much life insurance you need. Now, of course, it's going to be different for everybody. But the rule of thumb is take your annual income, gross income, multiply it by 7, typically 10. So you're making $50,000, $500,000. That's typically what you'll need. That's the rule of thumb. 7 to 10, I just take 10. So that sounds like it's going to be a lot of money, right? No, it's not. If you buy the right life insurance. So here, finally, did I go too fast? So your assignment is, if you look at the assignment sheet, I'm going to ask you to one question. Do you need life insurance? If you're single, you're living at home, or even if you're not living at home, you're single, you don't have any kids, do you need life insurance? No, that's the easy part. Then if you do need life insurance, then you go through the stuff we just said, and if it gets too difficult, call me or just make a number up. And either way, you could just use $500,000 and find a quote for $500. I'll show you how to do that later. So now, we're going to discuss the two types of life insurance. There's term, and then there's whole life, which is also called straight life, which is also called ordinary life, which is also called cash value life, which is also called variable life and universal life. What's going on here? And we say that term life is the only type of insurance. Wait a minute, Plano. You just told me there's two different types, but now you're saying that term is the only type of life insurance. I don't understand. Hang on a minute. It's a little tricky, but it's not that tricky. This is protection for a specified period of time, typically 20 years. Why? The kids are 1 and 3 or 2 and 4, and you want 20 years, 22 and 24, kick them out of the house. It's time to go on their merry way. You with me, understand? There's a renewability option. That means at the end of the term, you can renew the policy without having a physical. However, the price is going to skyrocket because they want you to go away. And there's also a conversion option, which allows you to change your policy from term to whole life without a physical. But if you are uninformed, you're supposed to say stupid. If you are uninformed enough, you didn't say stupid. If you're stupid enough to buy a whole policy in the first... Now, this is our brave hero! Come on, you know, I mean, it's not that exciting, so you got to jazz it up a little bit. It's insurance. It's whole life insurance. It's term life insurance, but it's going to save you tens of thousands of dollars. So it's our brave hero! The other type is whole life, which is also called straight life, ordinary life, cash value life, adjustable life, variable life, universal life, variable universal life. Why do they keep changing the name? You pay a premium as long as you live. The amount of premium depends on your age when you start the policy. It provides death benefits, which is what term does, but it also accumulates a cash value. Hence, you'll often people hear say cash value. So there's a savings account that is going along with this thing. Here, there is no savings account. Do you have a savings account in your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance? Yeah. You can borrow against the cash value or draw it out in retirement or when the kid turns 18 and goes to college, and you can pay for one or two books. But look carefully at the rate of return your money earns. It is almost always abysmal. You like that word, abysmal? What does it mean? Kaka, fuchi, poo-poo, right? And this is the evil villain. The evil villain. That's better. Okay. Every 5 to 10 years or so, the life insurance companies change the name of whole life. Why? Because eventually consumers get hip to how they're being screwed. To confuse the issue, they just change the name. Heaven forbid they stop selling the cursed things. The newest spin is permanent life. Wouldn't you really rather have permanent whole life policy instead of just temporary term life policy? Well, do you have permanent car insurance? Do you have permanent homeowners insurance? So, to review, how do these things work? Okay, so term life is sometimes called pure life. You'll hear people call it pure life because it's just life insurance, no savings vehicle. Whole life is life insurance. They'll pay you a certain amount of money if you pass away, but they have a savings component. So what's the big deal, Piano? If the insurance company is offering to provide you with life insurance and a savings plan, why not let them? Well, let's take a look. Here's a $500,000 term life insurance policy for a 32-year-old male preferred, meaning that they're in good life, good health, the parents, grandparents didn't die early. 20-year term life policy, $250, maybe less. I've seen it's going down. People are living longer, better health. That same $500,000 whole life policy, 32-year-old male preferred, $250 per month. Any difference? So $20 a month, $250 a month, $3,000 a year. Yeah? If a company came up to you and said, they won't say it like this, though. They'll say it another way. To save at our institution, you must buy life insurance. You must pay for it, even if you don't need it. We'll take everything you deposit in the first year for ourselves. In future years, we'll charge you to deposit money into your savings account. You can borrow the money at any time, but we'll charge you interest on your money. If you happen to die while this loan is outstanding, we'll decrease the amount we were to pay your beneficiaries by the outstanding amount of the loan. If you don't borrow from this account and you do die, we'll pay the beneficiaries the face amount of the policy. We'll keep your savings for ourselves. Oh, by the way, we don't offer the greatest rates of return, usually between 1% or 2%. Would you go with these people?
No.
No? Insurance companies are regulated by the states. For the last 50 years, virtually every insurance commissioner's office in every state has publicly stated that term life is a better deal for consumers than whole life. Virtually every consumer's group recommends term life insurance over whole life insurance. So now do you understand buy term and invest the difference? But Mr. Insurance Salesperson will tell you, oh, with our whole life policy, you get forced savings. Most people don't have the discipline to buy term and invest the difference. Even with the best of intentions, they will not do it. Do you understand what they're saying? They're saying you're stupid. Because if you have the discipline to pay $250 a month to these people, surely you have the discipline to pay $20 per month to them, and then take the other $230 and send it to your own investment. In reality, you should not take the monthly option because they charge an extra $1 or $2 a month. Just pay them $250 one month, and then the other month, the $250, you send to yourself. But what they're saying is, oh, no. Because you value life insurance so much, you would make the $250 payment to the life insurance company. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
Enjoy your class.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Welcome. Stick around. We'll be here for another half hour. Okay, $250 a month. you'll send in a life insurance company because you value life insurance and you don't want to leave your loved ones unprotected. Now, you've seen the ads, right? They go out. Yeah.
With the term, like, you're 30, you do it for 20 years. At the end of those 20 years, you can take.
Okay. Well, if your house didn't burn down after 30 years, are they going to give you back your premiums? If your car didn't get in an accident, are they going to give you back your premiums? That's why we pay it. We pay it because they're taking on the risk. If the house burns down, it's their job to pay for it. If your car gets in a crash, the same thing is true here. If you die, they'll pay your dependents the $500,000 or whatever it is. It's a bet you hope you lose. And so does the insurance company. But because of what your question, you hear a question, at the end of the 20 years, what do you get from it? There, that's why they can push these things. And then there's a one in between that we'll take a look at called return of principal. It's basically a whole life policy, but they call it a term life policy. They will, if you live the 20 years, they'll give back your premium. Return of premium. I'm getting old. And so they'll give back your premium. But what they're doing is they're basically doing the same thing. They're charging you a whole lot more than they normally would charge you. Instead of $250 per year, they'll charge you $1,000 or $1,200 per year. They're taking that excess, investing it, and at the hope with their abilities of investing, they're called the invisible bankers. At the end of the 20 years, they're hoping they're going to have enough money to pay you back. Of course, if you die within that, you don't get the premium back. You get the face value. Yeah.
And then after the 20 years, you resign?
No, you're done. 20 years, you're done. The kids are grown.
Oh, okay.
You don't need it anymore. You're self-insured by that time, hopefully. Okay. So do you see why we... Did I get through this? Yeah? Okay. Use an automatic contribution for your checking account. Pay them once a year, and then pay yourself every month. So do you see why we call term life insurance the only type of life insurance? It doesn't matter which one you buy. It doesn't matter. You're buying term life no matter what. You are still paying for protection for your dependents in the event of your death. With term life, you are only paying for that protection. That's why it's called pure. With whole life, you're paying far more for that protection. Plus, you are being tapped for an awful savings plan that you might not even get to use. Lastly, this gets back to Joanna just said. If you do invest the difference, by the time you are nearing retirement, kids are grown, house is paid off, you will not need life insurance anymore. You're self-insured. You financially don't need this stuff anymore. The ACLI, the American Council of Life Insurance fact book, is the mother load. For those of you who love statistics, and are into insurance, you got to download their annual fact book. It comes out sometime in May or something like that. So the 2019 won't be out for a couple more months. But in 2017, there were 6.2 million whole life policies sold. Only 4.1 million term policies sold. So let that sink in. Insurance agents want to sell you a whole life policy. On this policy, how much are they going to make? Commission? About $70 the first year. It goes down every year after that dramatically. How much are they going to make on the commission on this? $1,500. So which one do you think they want to sell you? They want to sell you the whole life policy. And they have convinced themselves. And remember, I'm one of them. They have convinced. So I get into heated arguments. One guy was ready to punch me. He was really angry at me. Heated arguments. They have convinced themselves that they're doing you a favor because you are buying life insurance to protect your family and saving, which you wouldn't do if you just bought the term. You would just fritter away that extra money. You see how they're convincing themselves that they want to sell you that? Yeah, so, and also, they get to make their boat payments. But in 2017, only $497 billion of life insurance was issued was whole life. Whereas over double, $1.12 trillion of term life was issued. I don't understand. What's going on? You see, the number of whole life policies is far greater than the number of term life policies, mostly because the life insurance salespersons get far greater commissions. But the amount of insurance in force for term is far greater than whole. Because term life is far less expensive than whole life, you can buy what you actually need. Can you afford $250 a month for $500,000 of life insurance? Many people can't. So here's the dynamic. So after the insurance agent convinces the poor slob that she needs whole life, she's got two kids, she's on her own, the agent sells her far less life insurance than she really needs because she can't afford $250 a month. How much can you afford? $80. Okay, great. We'll sell you $100,000 worth of life insurance. But that's not what she needs. She needs $500,000. I believe this should be criminal. These people should be put in jail. Because what happens if she actually does die? Does she have enough insurance? No. Yes. Oh, no doubt. Can she afford $20 a month?
And these people need
it? The life insurance agent? I think so.
Yeah, because they ask you your financial situation.
A good life insurance agent will.
Yeah.
And they should do it in your best interest. I apologize on behalf of my industry, but don't worry, we'll insult everybody by the end of the semester. Remember, we already insulted real estate agents, right? We'll insult stockbrokers, don't worry. Okay, now, this is a real-life policy. Why don't we not try to use this and go back to here. This is a real-life policy. This is from a client who asked me, can you explain this to me? He was at year 20. He was paying $60 a month for $50,000 of life insurance, which he didn't need because he didn't have kids. He wasn't married. And after 30 years of paying $60 a month, he would have had in his account $17,551. So I want you to remember this because we're going to come back to it. $60 per month for 30 years, he would have had $17,551. So here's a guy who didn't need insurance, paying $60 a month and 30 years. Are you going to remember that? Because we're going to look at it again when we get the bonds, and then we get the stocks, and we get the mutual funds. Cool? What do you think? And so he said, what should I do? I said I'd cash it out. So he was able to cash out about 10 grand. If he stops making the payments, you know what they do? They start eating into the cash value. If you stop making the premium payments, they say, oh, you don't want your policy to lapse. Oh, we'll take the money out of your savings account and use it to pay your premiums. Aren't you grateful? So I said, don't stop making the payments, right? Get the money and run. Big jerks. But that's what you're up against. They're not always in your best interest, doing stuff in your best interest. Okay, now there's a few other types, group policies. Usually, when you get to work for a place, they'll give you a little bit of insurance. I think we get 50 grand. Wasn't it? We teachers get 50, everybody else gets 25.
I'm retired.
I know, I'll be retired soon. I retired soon. Okay. Everybody here at Southwestern gets 25 just for working here. The teachers, the professors get 50. Cool. That's just free. Now, why would an insurance company do that? Well, I'm sure Southwestern gives them something, but what they more get is they get access to the employees. The company that offers these will often come to your business, your place of employment, and then try to sell you even more insurance. The cancer insurance we talked about in Chapter 9, disability income insurance. So they get access to the employees. Your credit union will usually give you $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000. Anybody know that? Mission Federal gives us $1,000. But at the same time, I'm sure the insurance company is giving it to Mission Federal so that they get access. They send you something in the mail. Don't you want to be protected? Here, we'll sell you something outrageously expensive. Now, when you get a credit card or maybe a mortgage, they're going to try to sell you credit life insurance. It's usually a bad deal. It protects the lenders. Do you really care if you die with credit card debt? But they want you to buy insurance, so don't buy it. And then you're going to get someone's going to try to sell you accidental death. Only pays if you're in an accident. Is that useful? Do you care how the person died? He's dead. Oh, terrible! How did he die? Skiing accident. Oh, good. I'm terrible. So don't. Plus, a lot of times it's more expensive than just plain term, depending on where you go. Okay, I see you're starting to get tired. Okay. All right, what do you do? When you're the insured, name your beneficiary and contingent. I love that. Secondary, sometimes called contingent. You like that word, contingent? Say it. Contingent. It feels good down here, doesn't it? Contingent. In other words, who's going to get the money? If you get divorced from the jerk and you don't change the beneficiaries, it's still going to go to the jerk. So make sure you change the beneficiaries. If you commit suicide within the first 2 years, they will not pay. Because they're trying to set up a situation where somebody who's... Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, not involved in the industry, but supposedly if you're contemplating suicide, you're mentally ill. That's their definition. So they're worried about people saying, I failed my family. I will policy and commit suicide. So the first 2 years, no. After that, they figure, okay, oh well. Don't lie about your age. They will not pay amount. What they'll do in these cases is they will pay back the premium. They will just say, sorry, this person either lied or they committed suicide within the first 2 years. So they will pay back the premium. Sound like a test question? So what are they going to do if you lie? If you commit suicide, they won't pay the $500,000. They'll pay back the premium. If you've been diagnosed with a life-ending, terminating disease, two doctors say you have 6 months, 9 months to live, they will pay what's called a viatical settlement or accelerated benefits. This was very, very useful for people who were dying of AIDS. They could use the money to have this is 20, 30 years ago, to have some dignity at the end of their life. If there's one cool thing, when insurance companies do something cool, you have to acknowledge it. If you're disabled, if you become disabled, they will forego the premium, which is cool. Thank you. And then the loan provision, stupid people. Premiums paid from cash value, stupid people. Uninformed. And then here's the return of principal, return of premium that we talked about. We'll see. It's usually not a good deal. It's basically a whole life policy. It's hiding as a term. We'll see that when we get to look at some examples. Okay. Choosing an insurance agent. As Kenya said, a good insurance agent is going to ask you about your financial plan. Get a good referral. Is the person willing to take the time to answer your questions? Find a policy that's right for you. Are they available? Do you feel pressured? Most importantly, are they still trying to sell you a whole life when you already told them three times that you want term life? Kick them in the butt as they run out the door. You see, I've got a little anger about the insurance industry. Remember, I'm an insurance agent. Okay, how do you apply? If it's not a group policy, they're going to want to take your blood. They're going to get you on the treadmill. They want you to be really thin. So get skinny before you go. Read every word of the contract. You have 10 days to change your mind. Again, these are the whole life policies. What happens is somebody eventually gets screwed. They figure out they're being screwed, whether they're the ones who are getting screwed or their beneficiaries when that person dies. What do? They call up their elected representative in Sacramento, or there's because it's run by the state, and they say, this insurance company screwed me. So some well-meaning, usually a Democrat, not often a Republican, but usually a Democrat, will say, we need to rein in the insurance companies. Yeah. The insurance companies say, oh, you don't want to destroy competition and innovation. Besides, you don't want to lose the $100,000 we gave you for your election campaign. And then the people go, oh, yes, I think we need to rethink this. What should we do? I know. We'll give people 10 days to change their mind. Don't you think that'll solve it? So you get 10 days to say, oh, I'm being screwed. Cancel this policy. Do you think anybody actually takes advantage of that? No, because if they were stupid and uninformed enough to get rooked into a whole policy, they're not going to change their mind in 10 days. Make sure people can find your policy. Now, how do you take the money out? The insurance companies are not stupid. This is their business. They don't want to pay out $500,000 in one lump sum. They're going to try to get your beneficiary to do a limited installment plan, 50 grand for the next 10 years. Or we'll pay you a certain amount of money for the rest of your life. Or you can leave it with us. You know, we're the life insurance companies. We're like invisible bankers. You can leave the money with us. Take it out as you need it. No matter what the life insurance company says, take the lump sum, invest it. Leave a letter of instruction. If you're the insured, you can actually put into the policy that this is the option that I want my heirs to take. They will get the full amount if I pass away prematurely. By the end of this class, you'll have a rudimentary knowledge of investments that will give you a rate of return that is at least 2 to 5 times better than anything the life insurance company will offer you. Go ahead.
Is the payout taxable?
No, it is not taxable. Life insurance, the payout is not. That's why we said at the beginning that some people will try to get around estate planning tax, estate taxes, because the life insurance proceeds are not taxable. So they'll try to take some of the assets, put it into a life insurance policy, and then when a person dies, give it to the heirs tax-free. And the IRS says, sorry, if they catch them. But you don't know if they catch them because you're dead. Your heirs are stuck with the problem. That's a good question. Not taxable. So here's what they do. They know, it's usually a wife, right? Not always, but it's almost always a woman. And the husband passed away, and they put their little arm around and say, ooh, little lady, we'll give you an income for the rest of your life. We'll screw you for the rest of your life. They don't say that part. They're called annuities, and we'll discuss those in just a few slides, but then we're going to discuss them more on Thursday. So, should you switch policies? Typically, no. But you were talking term life policies. You switch a policy if the benefits exceed the cost of getting another physical paying policy setup cost. In other words, you're paying $250 a year, and this insurance company, and I've seen them, $15 a month. I've seen them advertised. So you're in great shape. Now you're down to, what, $180 a year. Would you switch? Not bad, right? But don't cancel the first policy first. Wait until you've paid the premiums, and it's been a few months, because what happens if you cancel the first policy? They take your blood, they get you on the treadmill and everything, all of a sudden you have hepatitis B. Are they going to sell you that insurance? No, so make sure you've got the second policy in force, then cancel the first. But you're not going to, if you do your searching, you're not going to find that much cheaper. The big thing in this industry is what they've done with people who have whole life policies. The reason people switch whole life policies is because the life insurance salesperson convinced them to switch. Because remember, $1,500 a year? Well, it goes down rapidly. Next year it's much less, and then it just goes down rapidly. So what do they want to do? Buy a new policy. Because if they were uninformed enough to buy the whole life policy in the first place, they're probably uninformed enough to switch another policy. And the salesperson gets a ton of new commissions. Now, several years ago, few companies, we won't name any names, Prudential, got into hot water for pushing elderly folks to switch policies. So, who would do that? Insurance agents. Okay. Now, at the end of the chapter, they throw in annuities. Annuities belong in our next chapter, and we'll see them in the next chapter. I know why they throw them in. Because that's what they're going to try to get your heirs to do, or you if you're the heir. They're going to try to get you, instead of taking the whole $500,000, we'll pay you a certain amount for the rest of your life. That's all they're doing is now purchasing an annuity, getting a ton of new commissions. While annuities are insurance products, they really belong with investments and retirement planning. We'll revisit them on Thursday. The book includes a section of annuities in this chapter because the insurance companies will try to get the beneficiaries to purchase an annuity with their life insurance proceeds. This is a bad deal. Don't do it. And so, we are done. I know, it's getting a little boring, I know. It's insurance. What are you going to do? But do you need life insurance? Okay, ask yourself, do you need life insurance? Yes or no? Some of you have kids, you need life insurance. If you don't need, but if you do need life insurance, what are you going to do? Everyone, what are you going to do? If you need life insurance, you're going to? I don't know what I'm going to do with you. So, do you now understand it? Cool? Okay, so on the website, there are some examples of really bad insurance. You can go through those solicitations and the like. Here's accidental life insurance for $23 a month. Yeah, but here's what I want you to do. Part of your assignment is to get a quote. And so this is one, this is just one of dozens of websites. Hello, did I click on it? Here it comes, it's coming. This is just one of dozens of websites. And these websites are not insurance companies. They are internet companies. And their job is to get leads. What they do is they get the lead, and then they sell that to insurance agents or insurance companies. So typically, they're going to want your address, your email address, your name. They want to know how old you are. And they won't give you the quote until you give them the information, and then the insurance agent or the insurance company will contact you. This is one of the few that still will give you an instant quote. I'm going to... Don't bother him. He's on his phone. I know, it's terrible to interrupt your students. Go back to your phone. Okay, so now, this is, now, no, is this the target market, right? Daddy and mommy and the two kids, that's the target market. They're young, they need life insurance. So this is, as I said, one of the few places that will still give you a free quote. Look at that, $100 million for less than $35 a month. 21. Okay, so start. California. How old? 32 bucks? 32 bucks. 32 years or 28? How old do you want a person? 28. 28? So it's the 8th. It's the 8th, right? No, it's the 9th. 9th of April. So 28 would be. 28 would be what? 1991. So is this a male or a female?
Female.
Okay, female. Okay, and what's her height?
5'3".
What's her weight? Let's not say. 120. Is that too high?
It's
too low? 150? They're not going to like that. Let's do 130. And then preferred plus, which means, you know, no history of disease in the family, no smoking, good, they're on the treadmill and they're not, okay, no tobacco, 500. See, notice they 500,000 is the typical amount. And they want 20-year term. There's the return of premium and there's the whole life. It's not the worst whole life, but it's still pretty bad. Let's do 20 years and do annual. You don't, if you, as I said, if you do monthly or anything other than annual, they're going to add an extra $1 or $2 every month for the payment. So let's do annual. And let's see what we can do for this person. Females pay less, by the way. No, oh, it's even less than 250, see? Less than 20 bucks a month. 191, 198, 200, there's 250, 205. Women live longer than men. And they're in better health. Can you afford that?
Yes.
Yeah. Now watch what happens when we change it. Let's update the quote and change it to the closest thing this is a type of whole life policy. It's not the most egregious. It's not the worst policy. Worst whole life policy, but it's still a whole life policy. And now we continue. And now from $200, we're now up to $1,500, $1,700, $1,800, $2,000, $2,100, $2,600, $2,400, $2,500. And this is not the worst. There are worse ones that are even more expensive. And it says that women pay less than men. Cool? So, what are you going to do? Buy term and invest the difference. Now, to get back to, I'm sorry, your name is Giovanna, right? I'm sorry, okay, I keep confusing you. To get back to Giovanna thing. I paid 20 years and I don't get anything back. Okay, let's now look at the return of premium. So as we said, what's the return of premium going to do? It's based, they call it a term life policy, but it's really a whole life policy because they're going to charge you for the term insurance that's hiding in the policy, and then they're going to take an extra amount and they're going to invest it. And if you live for the 20 years, they will have hopefully have invested enough so that they can now pay you back the principal, the premium. So watch what happens. It won't be $200. It won't be as bad as the universal, but it will be a whole lot more than the... Yeah, see, $1,000. So you see that extra $800? You see what they're doing with it? They're taking that extra $800, investing it, and they're not stupid. They're insurance. They're called the invisible bankers, sometimes life insurance companies. And they're investing it, and at the end of 20 years, if you've lived long enough, you get that money back. But if you die within the 20 years, you don't get that. You just get the $500,000 policy. I know, what can I say? These people, you got to keep your back to the wall, folks. Bohica, because they're insurance companies. Okay, questions, thoughts? Anybody want to see another quote? No?
Where's smoke?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Let's go back and let's go back to the beginning. Okay, so there's your messages. Okay, let's go back again. Come on, why do you go so slow? Back again. Here. So use tobacco. Okay, 20-year term. Yeah, they don't like smokers. No, 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 no. Yeah. Triple, yeah. Yeah, they don't like smokers. And all of a sudden, you're no longer 20, you know, 8. Let's say you're 48. Oh, then let me go back to 71, right? That would be 48, 71. Did I get that right? See, they don't want you. Once you turn 50, go away.
20 years?
What?
20-year term?
Well, yeah. If you're 48, in other words, you'll be 68 when you're done. So they're going to charge you $2,000 a year, which is actually pretty cheap because now if we move it to 58, watch what happens. It gets outrageous. Like, go away. They do not want to hear you talk to you. Now 58 to 78... $5,000 a year. Once you turn 50, but then you know it depends on when you have your kids. I mean, if you have I know people who had kids in their 60s. Like, I can't imagine. You know, I can't even think about that. It means when you're in your 70s, that kid's going to be a teenager telling you your life sucks. Usually men, but there are women in their 60s who have had babies. Pretty amazing. You know, scary. Not the way it was designed, you know. Teenagers are hell. So, Cole, you understand about life insurance? Okay, because on Thursday, now you don't want to miss Thursday, because we start investing. Are you excited about investing? I hope so. Okay, now I'm letting you go a little early. Is that okay? You don't feel that you're being cheated out of your education. Just wanted to make sure. I know I don't want to. I'll stick around.
How are you?
I'm alive. That's a good sign. And they're offering us an incentive. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, that would be.